Thank you, Miss Susan. If it didn't help you, it helped me. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you being here tonight. Thank you, Miss Valita, for the good song. We've sang all about Beulah Land tonight. And I'm glad Isaiah chapter 2. And I like talking about them mountains, don't you? I like living on them. I like visiting those mountains. But sometimes you got to come down off of them and live. Amen. And so I'm glad God put some mountaintops in our life. We can't stay there, but we can visit them, and they help us in our journey. So Isaiah chapter number 2 tonight, Isaiah chapter number 2, going to look at verse number 1 down through verse number 3. The Bible said the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Let's pray together. Father, we again thank you for your word and thank you for your love. So thankful that even in the midst of all the devil would hurl at us, we can still live in Beulah Land. We can enjoy the goodness of God and pray tonight that we'd be a help to your people and that you'd get all the glory. Thank you for all you've done for us today. What a great day at the house of God. So meet with us here tonight and we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Boy, I tell you what, choir, you sang tonight. You practiced hard tonight. Congregation, you sang hard tonight, and I appreciate it. And I won't preach long, I don't think. I don't know if my throat can handle it. Y'all about sung me to death. We've had a good time tonight. I enjoy being in the house of God, don't you? Well, I tell you what, Sunday night's where you ought to be, is God's house. And if you can't enjoy being in the house of God on Sunday night, then maybe you need to check up and see what the problem is. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying there's something hindering your fellowship. And so tonight, I want to look at this thought, the mountain of the Lord's house, the mountain of the Lord's house. Well, according to Scripture, chapter 2 of Isaiah, and I understand tonight that as we look at this Scripture, it's talking about the days when the Lord rules and reigns. I also understand that it's a time when the Lord finally has his rightful place on the throne. We have a picture tonight of that. In the church, I realize tonight we're not perfect, but in the throne room of our heart, the Lord should reign. In the house of God, he should have the preeminence, Brother Eddie. There shouldn't be anybody above him. It should be all about him tonight every time we come into the house of God. And so tonight we see this mountain of the Lord. We see a couple things. It's where the word of God proceeds out. It also, the Bible said in verse 3, it is the place of the house of the God of Jacob. And so tonight I realize, and I'm not trying to take things out of context, and I hope you don't think that I am, but I think that we can see the picture of things in the future and we can relate it to things on earth today. I think right here what I'm looking at is the church. It's not the building necessarily, it's the people. And I'm glad we have a place, a local assembly to come worship together and encourage each other. And so tonight the church should be a mountaintop in our life. I don't understand folks that really don't have a high place in their life for the church. I don't understand how we decide not to be in our place when it's time to be in our place, right? And worship and serve in a local body of believers when we have the opportunity. Now I realize tonight there's some folks that are providentially hindered that would love to be in church but cannot. But let's be honest, we live in a day where church has a very low importance to most people. Now, a lot of folks that say they're saved, they could care less whether or not they're in the house of God when the doors are open. Listen, until they need the church. And then, if you don't come running to their, cater to their needs, they're talking about what hypocrites, and we mentioned it this morning. And so we have taken it for granted, if we're honest, but God has given us the gift of the church. And so what should the church look like? I mean, really, if we're basing it off of our preferences and what we like and what we don't like, then we end up having churches that are constructed and that fits the desire of men. Tonight, we can say, well, I like this and I don't like this. And I understand Everything that you and I like or do not like is not necessarily bad, okay? Sometimes churches do things they have to meet a need in a particular community that we don't have to meet. And so I'm not critical of that. We mentioned that this morning. But there should be some things that are the pillars or the foundation of the church, right? There should be some things that every church should contain, I think. And tonight I want to look at a few of those. Listen, we talked this morning in our Sunday school class, our young adult class, about long-suffering, how the Lord is long-suffering towards us, right? He's not slack concerning his promises, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What we have to realize tonight, folks, listen to me. We can sing about Beulah Land. We can sing about Jesus coming back, and I can't wait for the day, and I'm longing for the day. There's nothing wrong with that, but we need to understand the other side of the coin, that if he were to come back today, there's a lot of folks that'd be in hell. A lot of folks wouldn't be in heaven. We say we love them. And so tonight the church is not just a body of believers that come together a few times a week and sing songs and hymns, and the choir sings, and we hear preaching and Sunday school and all that. I'm thankful for those things, but the church is to be a living body that impacts the society and the community it's in. Can we agree with that? So what does that look like tonight? It should be, number one, a place of witness. It ought to be a place of witness. It should be a place of peace, right? Bible tells us here the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Now, one thing I know about tops of mountains, and it's unless there's a grizzly bear, it's usually a place of peace, right? And so really that's what the house of God should be. Shouldn't be all the bickering and fighting. It should be a place. The foundation of the church is the gospel. It's not a country club. It's not an Elks club. It's not a social event. My friend, the foundation, the reason the church should be a place of peace is because of the gospel and the Prince of Peace tonight. And so Moriah was the picture of Calvary. Without the gospel, we don't have a church. Without the cross, we don't have a church. Without the shed blood of Christ, we don't have a church. You call yourself whatever you want to call yourself, but if you don't have the fundamentals, the fundamental principles, the doctrines of the Word of God, if the church is not living up to that, you don't have a church. Matter of fact, it ought to be a body of baptized believers. That's what makes up the local church. It's not a group that has decided to come together. It's a group that rallies around a certain thing, and that certain thing is the cross of Jesus Christ. And so without the gospel, we don't have a church. Without the gospel, there's no hope to offer. There's no reason for us to be here. I mean, if we don't have the cross, if we don't have the death, burial, and the resurrection, the good news of the gospel, there's no reason for us to even be here. We're a bunch of idiots for coming to the house of God if we don't have any hope beyond the grave. So tonight, as you and I come to this place, it's not simply about how we can live through this life. It's about what we got on the other side. The reason we can live this life is because of what's on the other side. So it's a place of peace. It's a place of praise. Man, amen. Listen, Christ ought to be exalted in the church. Man, this thing ain't about you. It's not about me. It's not about our name. It's about his name. So tonight, the center of our praise is God and the gospel. Man, it's not about preacher, you preached a good message, or choir, you did. Don't get me wrong, time out. Nothing wrong with saying thank you and that song bless me, but this is not about me coming in here and dazzling you with a message. It's not about the choir or the special singing. Listen, Valita didn't come up here to, I didn't tell her she was singing before church. They didn't want to get her nervous. I said, Valita, you singing tonight? She said, I said, yeah, me and Jose were supposed to, but we've preached all day. We're tired, right, preacher? So you got it. And she did a fantastic job, but she didn't get up here to sing so you could pat her on the back and say, oh, Valita, what wonderful you are. If that's you, don't get up and sing. Man, if you want the praise of people when you preach or teach, don't do it. It ain't about you at all. It's not about me. So tonight, the one that should be exalted is Jesus Christ. Listen, the praise of God and the gospel is what binds us together. We're all different. Some of y'all are crazy and like Carolina. I can't understand how you get saved right with God. But the fact is, what binds us together is the gospel. It's the blood of Christ. Tonight, it is the reason we can praise God. The gospel is the reason we can praise God. It's why we have hope. Tonight, the church should be a place of witness. It ought to be a witness of who God really is. It ought to be a witness of how holy He is and how worthy He is of our praise. Man, we shouldn't come in here. That's why, listen, honestly, that's why I'm hesitant sometimes about having testimony service. Because we quit exalting God and we start talking about our problems. Now, we all got problems. If you don't, you're not breathing. But when you make more of your problems than you do the problem solver, you've missed what testimony time's all about. We don't need to hear your 17 hours of how awful your life was and how sinful and wicked you were before you got saved, and then say, oh, by the way, just want to thank God for saving me. Man, I want to hear how good your God is. Amen. That's what's going to change people. That's what's going to encourage people to want to know Jesus, is how good your God is. That's why we're to praise Him. It's a place of praise. It's a place of peace. It's a place of personal invitation. The Bible said here that all nations shall flow unto it. Now listen to me. I mentioned this before. Well, a friend of mine, a black pastor, told me, he said, preacher, the most segregated time of the whole week is Sunday mornings in churches. It ought not be that way. Man, it don't matter where you come from. Listen, your heart, my heart's the same. It's either saved by the grace of God or not saved by the grace of God. That's who we are. And so everybody should be welcome here. Doesn't matter race. Doesn't matter. Listen, I don't care what religion they are. If they can sit there and listen to the gospel, I don't care if they got if they're a Muslim. I don't care what they are. Let them come hear the gospel. Man, being a Baptist doesn't save you. Hallelujah, the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because the power of God unto salvation. We ought to make much of the gospel. We ought to make much of Jesus. Let's stop making much of our differences, and let's start making much of Him. Many people go and say, amen, I'm glad, hallelujah, it's whosoever. Because if it weren't, friend, I'm looking at a bunch of Gentiles, and you're living, they'd be excluded. We were grafted in. He didn't come to us first. He came to the Jew. And I'm thankful that one day there was a man named Paul going down the road, and God saved him and said, you're going to be the apostle to the Gentile. You and I are here today because God cares about Gentiles. Thankful tonight, hallelujah. Many people go and say, tonight may I say, in verse 3, many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. So tonight we ought to invite everybody. Man, I don't care what side of the track they go. If they got a dime or they don't have a dollar, praise God. They ought to be invited to the gospel. Ought to be invited to the house of God. Tonight we are to extend invitation to come to the Lord to whosoever, Samaritan, Jew, black, white, hallelujah, Hispanic, English, doesn't matter. And I'm so tired of hearing all the garbage going on in religion. Let's get rid of religion and bring people to Jesus. Tonight, that's why we're here. We're not here just to sit in church. We're not here just to sing. We're here, my friend, to be a place of witness. It ought to be a place when people go down the road. They say, man, that's where that Jesus is exalted. That's where those people that love Jesus congregate on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's where they sing about. Man, they don't need to hear about no rock concert. Amen. They don't need to hear about inspirational speaker. They ought to have a place where they know when they walk in the door, they're going to hear some old time singing about praising God. And they ought to hear a leather lung preacher get up and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. I'm not here to motivate people. I want to bring them to Christ. Tonight, that's what it's all about. It's a place of witness. Number two, it is a place of God's word. House of God should be a place of God's word. It'd be good, number one, it'd be good if people would understand what the word is. I was talking to a young man today. Brother Jerry and I were talking to him, and I said, here's what you do. I said, go to the book of John. I said, read through John. You get done, read through John again. I said, don't you do this. I said, don't you go get a bunch of books. You hear me? Don't you go get a bunch of books and start reading everybody's idea. Read John. Amen. Read the gospel. Read the Bible. Amen. Man, I'm not against reading books, but don't you get your theology from some man. Get it from the Bible. Amen. See, it's a place of learning. It's a place of God's word. It's a place of learning. This book tells us who God is. You want me to tell you why people are so mixed up about who God is? They don't read his word. Well, I think God is this. I think God is this. I think this. No, you're thinking, man. God doesn't pay you to think. He tells us everything he wants you to know about him and his word. This is where you learn about him, right? Not from some guy at a Bible college. Listen, Bible college doesn't teach you anything except how to do ministry. You get your what you learn about God right here, man. That's better than any textbook. It's better than any blog or vlog or rog or whatever they come. They just had a letter in front of log. Get your doctrine from here. Get what you know about God out of this. Amen. He'll tell you all, well, I think God is this. He tells you who he is. From Genesis to Revelation, he's holy and he's righteous and he's love and he's compassionate, he's long-suffering, he's full of mercy. I'm glad, amen. I know who I've been, Brother Jose, that my goal this year is to read through the Bible a certain number of times, not to tell you, but as I do, I go in there and I start digging. I said, boy, God is telling me all about who he is. He's full of mercy. Not only are we learning who God is, we learn what God wants. You say, I know what God wants. You don't, a bit more than a monkey, know what God wants. Unless you read it in the Bible. You say, listen, time out, listen to me. You know what we do? We say things like this. Well, I feel like what God would want, if what you feel and what you the still small voice that you hear does not line up with the written word of God, don't believe it. I tell you, listen, folks, I've seen a lot of people get messed up by the still small voice. If you're not in the will of God, you cannot trust the still small voice. If you're not reading the word of God, you cannot trust the still small voice. The Bible said, try the spirits. Huh? Try the spirits. You know what that means? Put them on trial. Do they line up with the word of God? Hey, Brother Eddie, you know what has happened in Christianity? And I hear it. People are making, Brother Gary, more of the Holy Spirit than should be made of him. Now listen to what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. I'm not blaspheming. I'm saying this. Jesus himself said the Holy Spirit was to witness, make much of him, to witness him, right? So when we start exalting and saying, the Holy Spirit this and the Holy Spirit that, and we don't say anything about Jesus, we're missing it. Huh? You know what you're hearing in Christianity? I was talking to a guy the other day. Here's what he said, Brother Jose. He said, we need to start making more of the Holy Spirit. I said, I'm for the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. But the Holy Spirit makes much of Jesus. And if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to make much of Jesus. Amen? And so if we're not careful, what we do is we start dealing with emotion. That's why emotionalism is so dangerous. I'm not against emotion. But you better be careful when all you got is emotion. I feel this way. I'm moved to tears by this. Listen, you cannot approach the Word of God that way. You have to approach the Word of God that this is God's facts. Whether I feel a certain way or not, this is truth, amen? And so we're learning who God is, we're learning what God wants, and we're also learning what God gives. His blessings, his gifts to us, amen? So it's a place of learning. But then the church is a place of leading through the Word of God. Leading. God guides us through his Word. If you can't back it up with Scripture, it may not be. And I listen, years ago, Brother Bob, I had a young man, every time I'd say something, he said, give me chapter and verse. You're not going to find chapter and verse for everything. You're going to find principles oftentimes. I'll give you an example. You're not going to find one verse in here that says, do not smoke crack. You're just not. But the principle is there. Right? So you got to look. You're not going to find one scripture that says, do not play the lottery. But the principle is there. Oh, I lost them on that one, Jose. Got a bunch of gamblers in the church. Amen. Quit gambling. Right? So you have to read the Word of God with an open mind to let the Holy Spirit speak to you, but you can't let it say what you want it to say. Make sense? If you go into this book with your own ideas, God will let you get tripped up. Read it in context, place of leading. God guides us through His Word. We are led by the Word and the Spirit. Not the Word or the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit. Why is that? Because, Brother Matt, this book is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So no one can know the book that they wrote better than the author. Can we agree with that? So if he wrote it, he knows it. So my point is this. When God starts revealing stuff in the Word of God, here's what I would do. I would have an open mind to it, but I would back it up with other scripture. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. You with me? It's a place of learning. It's a place of leading. It's also another place of learning. I don't know why I put that learning. I'm sure it's of learning who He is. Of His faithfulness. It's a place of learning what we're to do. Right? So it's not only a place of learning about Him, it's a place of learning about us. When you have this book and you use it as a mirror instead of a whipping stick for somebody else, when you put it up to your face, all of a sudden you learn a lot about yourself. Thank you, Brother Kenneth. Maybe the reason we don't study it more is because we don't want to know about ourselves. We like the flowery picture that we paint of ourselves, but as we study the Word of God, we start realizing that we're not quite who we thought we were. So it's a place of God's Word, and then number three, it's a place to walk. Bible said in verse 3, said He will teach us His ways. There's the learning. And we will walk in His path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So it's not only a place of teaching, it's a place of walking. We're to walk in His paths, right? So what does that look like? Well, how are you going to know what the path of God is if you're not in the will of God? How are you going to be in the will of God when you won't obey the Word of God? How are you not going to obey the Word of God when you don't study the Word of God? So tonight, that place, that walking, and by the way, let me say this. A church ought to be a place where people can grow. Everybody's not on the same step. Everybody's not on the same point of the journey. We're studying, I've challenged our staff. We did the health challenge a few months ago, and then I challenged them to work on their finances. By the way, let me challenge you too. Church says, none of your business, preacher. Ain't mine, but sure is God's business. Right? So I said, let's do this. 3 months, we're going to see how much money we can save, and how much debt we can pay off. No, I'm just saying we're not keeping up. Nobody's turning in numbers. That's your business, not mine. It's not church. That's your business, right? But I said I want everybody to commit to it. So I don't know what they're doing, but I don't see anybody with bankruptcy court calling me and saying, do you know anything about this character? So it must be doing all right. But one of the principles, you know, that probably all of us, and we hadn't done this collectively, but just talking to people is kind of following the Dave Ramsey baby steps, and You know, and I get it. Some of you, when you hear that name, it's like a curse word in your house. You don't like him because you can't buy everything, go into debt for everything. I get that. But the first thing is have a $1,000 emergency fund, right? Step two, pay off all your debts except your house, right? Step three, step four, step five, step six. We're not all on the same step. Some people saving that first thing. Some people paying off debt. Some people have paid that off. They got a 3 to 6 month emergency fund. Because I don't know if you know it, there might be another pandemic. Some are paying off their mortgage. Some are paying whatever it is. There's seven steps and everybody's on a different step. That's called growth. Well, guess what? It's the way the church ought to be. Everybody's not on step seven. Everybody's not on six. Everybody's not on five. Some are on one. Some have been on one for a long time, need to get on two. Say amen there. But if you can't grow, if every time you're trying to grow, somebody's holding you back, that's not a good place to be. And if you're trying to stay in the same growth cycle and not ever go any farther, we're going to leave you there, we're not helping you either. My job is to challenge you. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Right? So sometimes it is encouraging. Sometimes like, oh, like some of you looking tonight. We gotta grow, man. You shouldn't be on step one if you've been saved for 20 years. Shouldn't be on step one if you've been saved for 5 years. You ought to be at least on step 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, wherever you are. There's got to be a place to walk. You don't expect when you have children, you don't expect the toddler or the one that's crawling to run. You let them grow, right? So it is a place to walk. It's a place of enlightenment. You don't mean to tell you how you walk? God enlightens you through his word. The revelation of God's direction for us, steps of faith. Steps of faith. Steps of faith. Don't look at yourself. Listen to me. Don't compare yourself to other Christians and say, well, I should be where they're at, because you don't know. They may have been saved 5 years longer than you are. They may have been saved 5 years less than you. But wherever you are, you just get along with God and start being enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, all of a sudden, you'll start growing. Don't get jealous of someone else's growth. It's a place of enlightenment. Here's what I want you to get, all right? I use the example of my buddy, Brother Blaylock. Since he's not here, I can talk about him. When God called him to preach, Brother Bob and Miss Kathy were there. They'll remember this. God called him to preach. I mean, man, he's on fire. That boy could preach. It wasn't long, he took a church. And I knew then, Brother Matt, I knew way back then, I don't know before Brother Blaylock, but around the same time, I knew God was calling me to preach. I knew it. But I didn't want to do it because he was doing it. Right? I didn't want to just jump in line where God called him to preach. I don't want to be one of them kind of boys. Right? And so I waited. Right? I just waited. And then God confirmed it in my heart. That's what he wanted me to do. Well, then, Brother Eddie, I was scared to death. Like, I don't have a clue. I'm not Bobby Robertson. I'm not Noah Fry. I'm not Gary Blaylock. I'm not Ronnie Craddock. I'm not all these men. I don't know what I'm doing here. I was scared to preach. I was scared to study. I'm like, God, I'll do it, but I just want to stay right here at my home church, and maybe I can fill in for pastor if he's ever gone, and that's all I really wanted, man. And God kicked me out of the nest. I didn't think it's fair. And now I look 19 years later, and I realize this. I'm not Gary Blaylock. God had a path for him to go. He's pastored several churches. That was his path. I've been at one. Lord lets me, I'll stay here till I die, or you kick me out. And if you kick me out, I ain't leaving. So everybody's got their own path. You can't go looking at everybody else and say, well, why is this guy, why does he get to preach all these revivals? And why is Why does it's just amazing. I've had guys call me and preachers say this. I say, well, how is it that you get to go out west and preach all the time? I don't know. I'm available, right? I didn't call them up and say, hey, I'm going to come out there and preach for revival for you, so get ready. I'm just available. I had a guy the other day, Brother Jimmy, I was in the preacher's fellowship, and here's what he said. He said, he lives in South Dakota. He said, listen, if you're ever in my area, I'd love for you to come and preach. I said, man, I ain't never going to just be in your area. There's not... I-40 does not go through South Dakota. I'm not just going to be passing through the state when they say, hey, I'm in the neighborhood. Mind if I come preach for you? And I say, if you want me to come preach and do a revival or whatever, or just come preach, I'll do it. But you got to just got to line it up, you know. And so it's almost like guys say, well, I don't think it's fair. You get to go out west. Well, go, man. They got plane tickets every day. First time I went, you know what? I went on my dime. Brother Matt, you know what? That separates them right there. I ain't going out there unless they pay, then you probably ain't going. Because they don't have the money to pay. You want to serve God, it might cost you something, right? So you have to get to the place that you're not comparing yourself to everybody else and get on your path and say, God, reveal to me what you want in my life. Reveal your will for my life. Reveal for me where you want me to serve in the house of God, and I'll do it. Not choosing, not picking. I don't want to do that. It's when the door's open, praise God, I'll do it. Huh? Because listen to me. If you won't do the small things, he's not going to open the door for the big things. It's a place of enlightenment, and then it's a place of encouragement. Place to be encouraged to keep going. Tonight, you know, I don't like gossip. I don't want to hear gossip. Now I'm going to be straight with you. If I hear gossip, I might just ask you to leave the church. That's how much I hate it. There's no place for it. Mind your own business. If you can't encourage people, keep your mouth shut. Right? So I just say, if you're a gossip, just go ahead and leave. Right? You say, well, you can't tell me that. You'll lose a church member. Probably gain some more. See, we got to learn to control the tongue. And if you can't, Bible said, let no, zero, what? Corrupt. That means stuff that decays. Communication. Words. Right? That doesn't mean I was just concerned. Brother Jerry, I hear people say stuff like that. I was just talking to Brother Chad about Brother Matt because I was concerned. But if it involves Brother Matt, he's the one you ought to be talking to. I know he looks like Santa Claus, but he can't fix the problem. That's gossip. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is what? What does edify mean? To build up. Man, if you can't build them up, shut up. That's good. See, that's why I just got to get down where you're living, right? If you can't build them up, close your pie hole. It's what the house of God ought to be. You say, well, preacher, I'm standing for truth, and I'm standing for what's right. No, you want us to go digging around in your garbage can? God will straighten people out. Holy Spirit doesn't need any help from you or me. You just encourage, edify, build up. Help people to grow, right? Help them to walk with God. Don't discourage them. That's what this mountain looks like to me. People coming in, going out, hearing from God, man. People excited. People enjoying the house of God. That's what we need. We don't need to hear more about the pandemic, right? We don't need to worry about masks and vaccines, and we don't need to worry about all the political stuff going on. We don't need to hear all the bad news on Fox, CNN, MSNBC, KGB, whatever you listen to. Man, we ought to come in here and talk about God. Amen. Talk about how good he is. Make much of him, right? Make it a mountain. Man, I'm talking about a place where everybody wants to. If you would have seen, listen, it snowed I don't know how many days. It was cold, and the wind was blowing. I'm not talking about a breeze. I'm talking about the flag was like that, 40, 50 miles an hour just all the time. And it was cold, and it snowed. It's not supposed to do that in April. Now, about 3 days this week, I thought, man, this is miserable. I tell you what happened. We got ready to leave yesterday. Got up early. Walked out. Sun was shining. Wasn't hot. But it wasn't cold. I walked out with a short sleeve shirt on. Brother Randy, I walked out and I looked at that mountain. And it had snow all over it. And I looked at it and I went, wow. Wow. If all that we had to go through with that weather produced that, at least for me it was worth it. Now you got to figure out in your life if some of the storms, some of the problems, some of the issues, it's going to be worth the mountain. The mountain of the Lord's house. It's one of those stops along the way you ought to enjoy. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand tonight by our heads. Maybe one or more of these areas, place of witness. Maybe that's not where you are right now, but it's where you know you should be. Place to walk. Maybe you're not encouraging and helping. You're hindering. Place of worship. What's your worship look like? You complaining? Or are you exalting? Say this, I like church. I like church. I love it. I love being around you. I love to preach. I love to hear other men preach. Love to hear you sing. Love when God meets with us. It's just worth it. It's a mountain in my life. It's one of those high places. Sundays, going to church. Wednesday, going to church. Don't let it be a burden. Not careful, the devil make it a burden in your life. I got to go. Got to go. Stops being a get to and ends up being a got to. Can I share something with you? Let me tell you why it's a burden for some people. Because you bring your junk with you and you leave with the same junk you came with. The Bible said casting all your cares on Him. Burden because you won't get rid of your stuff. Holding on to it, right? Won't you just try? This evening, if you're carrying your junk around with you, won't you just bring it to the altar, give it to God, walk away, and say, I'm done with that. See how much better church is. See how much better your life is. See how much more peace and joy that you've got. Come on, people still coming. Or you can walk out of here the way you came in. You can blame God and blame the church, blame the preacher, blame the deacons, blame your wife, blame your husband. You can blame whoever you want to. But if you won't do what God tells you to do, you got no peace and you got no joy and you got none of the things that you want, no contentment, you got to look at you. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the Holy Spirit of God that has spoken our hearts tonight. I thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your be long-suffering towards us tonight. May we go out and be the church. May we go out and be a witness for you. Thank you for what you've done tonight in service. In Jesus' name, we